Guys, welcome back to Be Unemployable. I am here with Becky. You remember Becky Chipra from Chipra Creative? Oh my gosh, we have such an exciting episode for you. We're talking about the perfect versus imperfect feed. Becky.
Yay! I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you back. I literally talked to somebody yesterday who referenced your episode.
Oh, that warms my heart. Seriously.
It's been like having you as a regular, well, regular, which is like what, monthly? Because I took 3 weeks off. So all of a sudden it seems like you're a co-host, but no, not really. but having you as a regular has been such a good decision because everybody loves your episode.
Oh, well, I'm glad. And I, to be honest, I like having a space to talk about all things social media because you know I can talk about it all day.
Yes. And it's so helpful because it changes fast.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who isn't in the space all the time has questions.
Yes. Yep. They sure do.
So this is such a great mix. So let's get into it. Unless you have any housekeeping. Do you have housekeeping? Because I don't.
No.
Okay, good. that's my shortcoming is housekeeping. So let's talk about the perfect feed versus the imperfect feed, because I know my clients are so afraid to get started.
Yes. Yes. And that's something that I hear often too.
Yeah. It's really something like I have clients who have like one or two posts and they're like, well, I don't know what to put up because it looks, you know, like it, what if I change my branding? What if I, so like, talk to me about DIYing. Like, what do you do when you're a brand new business owner or you're brand new to social media? Like, what do you do?
Yes. So my beginning advice for people that are new, and again, I don't think you guys are going to like this, but it is to just do it. I know that posting is scary. And I know that it feels, when you're new and you post on social media, it feels like everybody is looking at you. And I just want to say, if you're a new business, everybody is not looking at you yet. But you have a smaller following and those people are, so you need to show up for them. You need to show up for the people that are following you in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, you show up for your people all the time, but especially for the people in the very beginning, you know, because they're the ones that are really supporting you. And it's okay if you put out, you know, graphics or captions that you're not, you know, 100% confident about. You just have to do it. Now, with that said, I do want you to do this often and consistently. And as you do that, you're going to get better. And it is important that your feed. Now, okay, I'm gonna dig into something a little spicy here. So your feed does need to look aesthetically pleasing, but it doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay. That makes total sense. Like, yes. You want it. So what do you do? Let me ask you a question. What do you do when you love the post you put out in the moment?
Yes.
You know the feeling I'm talking about? Like, you put it out, you love it. You come back like 3 days later and you're like, this is the ugliest thing I ever did. Why did I put that out? Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
Okay. So first I want you to breathe and just know that it's okay. the best thing you can do is post in advance. Well, I'm sorry, is to bulk plan your content. So you want to start let's just take this as an example, plan a month in advance to post. So something that I will do is I'll plan like 3 posts a week, for example. And then if I have that like itch to be creative for a new post, I will create that post and then just put it at the end of my 1 month. If I need it to go out immediately because my heart is just in it and it's, you know, relevant to what's going on, I post it on a day that I don't have a post automatically scheduled. So if I'm posting Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that leaves Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday for spur of the moment posts. But the thing is, when you post, just make sure that it's matching the rest of your feed, meaning like you got to have some sort of branding, right? So if you're new and you don't have branding yet, there's all sorts of resources online that you can use to help you develop your branding, and you just want to stick with it and be consistent.
So basically don't go with your gut and post spur of the moment. Now, could you post spur of the moment stuff on your stories? Like,
yes.
Would that be the best place for that? Because like,
yes. So, and stories is a great place to post spur of the moment stuff too, because you're talking directly to your audience. So when you post on your feed, you're communicating to everyone, right? You're communicating mm-hmm. to the people that follow you, to people that find you on the Explore page or in a hashtag, or they stumble across your account somehow and they're not yet following you. You're talking to all of those people. When you post on your story, you are primarily just talking to the people that are following you, because your story is really only seen by your followers. So that is a great place for spur of the moment content. In fact, that's what I typically do, is I post spur of the moment thoughts and ideas on my story. And it makes you a lot more relatable and conversational when you're posting on your story too, especially if you're posting with your face and talking to the camera.
So I'm laughing at that because you say that to me personally, and I'm always like, no, I'm a gremlin, so I'm just going to hide in the corner. And I know personally, I love to see people's face, but I'm always like, no, I don't think so. I don't think I'll be doing that ever.
You can show up on Zoom
and I'll look at you all day long.
Yes.
What can I do?
If you don't like showing your face on social media, like you don't like going on your stories and talking, because I don't always either. It's awkward in my opinion. I do it, but I right. sometimes just feel really awkward, or like, you know, I'm having a gremlin day.
Right.
Like, I want to get on my story.
Like, leave me alone.
What I started doing is posting either a photograph of myself from like one of my branding sessions, like a photography session, and putting text yeah. over it, or doing a plain background in one of my branding colors with text over that, or getting a stock photo and posting the stock photo with text. Just the key there is you're adding text to your story, because you're communicating via text what you want to say that you don't want to say in person, if that makes sense.
Or if you're like me and you're obsessed with Midjourney,
yes.
you can create a way more fun image than a stock photo.
Yes. Yes, you can.
I create animals and clothing. That's my favorite thing to do.
So
just create images of animals and clothing. Everybody wants to see them.
Of course.
Even if they don't know.
They don't know, but they do know.
So, okay, let's talk a little bit more about the branding side of things. So yes. you mentioned it on the DIY stuff, and like you can really go and find branding elements. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I have certain clients that'll kill me for suggesting to just go to Canva, but realistically, you could.
If you're new,
Yeah.
That's a great place to start.
You could really start, just head on over to Creative Market, and you can find whole branding kits mm-hmm. ready for you if you really don't know what you're doing. But obviously, I work in branding. I know what's going on there. Is that the first step to really getting things done? Like before they even work with you, they want to get branding going?
Oh, yes. Yes. Please get your branding. Okay. before working with me or any social media manager. You might find social media managers that are experienced in branding. Like now that I've been in the business for quite some time, I can certainly help, but I am not an expert. And neither are most social media managers, unless it's specifically stated in their service guide or on their website or whatever. But yeah, for the most part, we're not experts. So we can't, and most of us probably don't want to create your branding. We want you to come to us with your branding ready to go, and then we can just implement it.
And when you ask for someone's, excuse me, when you ask for someone's branding, you want their visual, but do you also want their, like, their, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh my gosh, where's my brain? Do you also want their, like, their storytelling, all of that as well? Like, do you want their brand voice? Do you want their brand tone?
So when working with me, what I do is, like, I'll just give you an example of my process for the branding. So when we onboard, I have a checklist that you're emailed and you follow and you check it off as you complete it, but you'll send me all of your branding stuff, right? So you'll send me like, all of your colors.
What do you got? Send it over.
Right. I want all of the colors with the hex codes. I need all of your logos. I don't use logos a lot on social media, but every now and then I do. So I need that. I need all of your product photography or your professional photography if you're service-based. I need all of your fonts. And so that's just going to get us started. And then I send you over a questionnaire. And the questionnaire goes more in depth into branding, and you have to fill out all these questions about your brand voice and how you want to communicate to your clients and things like that. So if you're DIYing it, be thinking about those things. Be thinking about what colors do you like. If you work with a branding expert, Maggie, as you know, they will help you figure out your colors based on a lot of color psychology to determine, like, okay, you want to have your presence be this. These are the types of colors you should do. Well, if you're new, you may not know that or whatever. That's okay. But there's some free websites online that will, like, auto-generate colors for you. You can start there and just get some colors going, pick out your fonts. But once you're able to, I do highly recommend working with a branding specialist.
Yeah. And the best way, like, pro tip from an actual branding person, me, pick out your, go through your values first, then pick out the brand vibe, then pick out your colors based on your brand vibe, because that's where the color psychology comes in, and then your colors will actually help you dictate your fonts.
Yes.
And then from there,
actually Maggie helped me with my branding, so
like it's good. I will say something when I see someone struggling, and Becky actually came to me for a little bit of help, so it's so, I love it. And it's so fun to just tweak when someone already has, even if they have strong branding, it's easy to tweak just a little bit to get it to that point where it's like just exceptional. And that's what we did with Becky's. Like, she already had really strong branding, and we just tweaked it just a little bit to make it like that, like chef's kiss.
Yeah, branding is really important. And I feel like the recent discussions of social media, it maybe has gotten overshadowed with words like, you know, authenticity. With the rise of TikTok, people are saying that, you know, so the nice thing about TikTok is that people on there are generally pretty authentic, right? They're posting without makeup on, they're posting in their pajamas, and we love that. Well, now some people are saying, and when I say some people, I mean, like, you know, gurus and experts, whatever. Right. They're saying that on your feed and social media, or I'm sorry, on Instagram, you need to be authentic there too. And I do agree with that. However, it has been proven over and over that having an aesthetically pleasing feed and having aesthetically pleasing photos on your feed still performs better than any other type of content. So when we're talking about, you know, branding and the perfect feed and the imperfect feed, I just want to say, post your stuff. Even if you're nervous, post it. It's okay if it's not perfect. Work on improving it, because you're going to find more success once your photos are able to stop the scroll.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And you can go through people's, at least this is what I like to do, go through people's feed as they grow.
Mm-hmm.
And go you down can, and see.
You can see the transformation, right?
Yes.
It's amazing. And
like if you go through mine, my stuff is so funny at the beginning. It's so funny how corny it was at the beginning.
But that's where we all start, you know?
You got to start. It's better to start somewhere than just sit and talk. Right. Than just talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, that's why we support both the imperfect and the perfect feed, because you have to start off at the imperfect feed, right? But at some point, you really need to grow into a more aesthetically pleasing. Like, I don't even want to use the term perfect feed because I don't think that exists.
Right. Trust me, I've been known to archive posts that I am mortified by.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Even now.
Yes.
Even now.
And, you know, that's okay, because if you don't feel good about them, you're not going to feel good about your feed, whatever. You can archive them. But to get started, please just post. Please don't be scared. Just do it. Yeah. And if you find later that you make a mistake, it's okay. Unless the mistake is major, and like, then go ahead and delete. But
right.
like for example, I one time had a client, so going back to like, what do you do when you want to post on the fly? she made her own post. So I have my aesthetically pleasing feed that was all ready to go. And she posted something, just on her own. And like 4 days later, she messaged me freaking out because she noticed that there was an error on her image. I can't remember. There was a misspelling of some sort. And she was asking me if I should take it down. And I was like, no, you know, it's been 4 days. It's already circulated in the algorithm. Like, I would just leave it. It showed, like, when you have mistakes like that on your feed, yes, it's embarrassing for us as the business owner, because we're like, oh no, people are going to judge us. But, and I don't know about you, Maggie, but sometimes when I witness errors on other people's content, I'm like, oh, they're a real person.
Like, I'm just like,
they're human. It happens. Right. You move on.
I forget about it the second I'm no longer looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I can't. Like, I have too much stuff in my brain to remember who.
Nobody's thinking
what.
About it except for the business owner.
Yeah. I literally go, okay. Mm-hmm. And like, it takes 1 second for me to go, oh, that's misspelled. And then I forget immediately. And a lot of times I don't notice it.
Yeah.
Sean is the one who notices all the misspellings.
Well,
and,
yeah.
And then. When I do notice it, if I'm friends with the person, I'll be like, hey, this is misspelled. Otherwise, I don't even do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, I have a typo on my website right now that I've been aware of for 6 months to a year, and I haven't fixed it.
Can I tell you an embarrassing story similar to that, but unrelated to the fiend discussion?
Yeah.
And in my service guide that I send to potential clients, I don't know how I missed this. I discovered after like 6 months to a year, I had testimonial misspelled in my service. And you know what? People still hired me, bless their hearts.
Well, but, and I've read it and I didn't notice it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fixed. I have found it, fixed it. But I mean, it just goes to show you that like a spelling error doesn't, you know, make you any less valuable.
And the way that people read, like humans read, if we're not reading every, like we read the beginning of the word and the end of the word. So if your in between section is wrong, most people don't mm-hmm. notice it.
Right. That is true.
And I have a word, if you go through my website, one of my pages, I don't remember which one, has one of my words twice. I've typed it twice. And yep. that's why nothing's catching it. And mm-hmm. a potential lead sent it to me. Hey, sorry, everybody listening. I won't be editing this out. My dogs are being crazy, but someone sent it to me and I was like, oh, I need to fix that. And I still haven't. And it's been quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So being human, nobody cares. Nobody cares except you.
Yes.
And if it's the kind of person who does care, do you want to work with them?
No.
Well, it depends on your service. If you're a copy,
editor, I guess that's true. If you're a copywriter.
If you're a copy, like copywriter, copy editor. Well, copywriter even is okay, but copy editor is where it's a problem.
That's true.
Because that's the person, like a proofreader.
Good distinction.
Like, yeah. It depends on what your service is, depends on if it matters. But like for me, mm-hmm. and most people I know, nobody cares.
Yep, I totally agree. So earlier you had asked, how do you make an aesthetically pleasing grid?
Yeah.
And I have some tips for everybody if they like to jot them down. So earlier we talked about, you know, using Canva to come up with, if you're a brand new business, to help you determine your branding, your colors, your fonts, what types of elements, if you want to use elements, you know, all of that.
Yep.
You can use Canva to help you out. The next thing that I would do is once you start planning the content you want to post for the month, use some type of feed preview to help you determine what should come next. So if you use the later scheduling app, they actually have a feed preview that's built in that you can see. If you don't want to use later, you can get all sorts of grid planners in Canva and you can just print out your, or I'm sorry, you can download.
Please don't print out.
Yeah. Don't print out, people. You can download your image and re-upload it to get it into that planner to kind of help you determine, what colors you want to use. Like one thing that I do for clients is I do use a grid planner and I'll get all of my initial ideas out on this planner. Then I'll go through and be like, okay, I want to change this post color. I want to swap these two post dates. It just, I don't know if anybody else is a visual person like I am, but I like to see
yes.
visually come together. And then I would also recommend using some type of stock photo, or like Maggie suggested, Midjourney, if you're experienced in that, or your own product photos or professional photos on your feed. Pro tip, people love to see other people. So I know we talked about this last time, but use photos of yourself if you can. If you're really against that, that's okay. Or if your brand is just not, you know, it's not a personal brand, you know, use as much product photos as you have or stock photos that relate to your business.
Or people using your stuff.
Yes, yes. If you're a product-based business, UGC is huge.
User-generated content?
Yes. Thank you. User-generated content.
Yeah. No, you're like, yeah, user-generated content is big. I talked to somebody about it the other day. I don't remember who. But, and it wasn't you, but it was, I referenced you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's user generated content is big. And before I knew what it was, oh, I know who I talked to. But it's big. because it's, well, it's always been big, but it's literally always been big as long as social media has been around.
But TikTok really brought it to light and made it bigger, which is great.
It changed its form.
Yes, it's become really integral in your social media strategy if you're a product-based business to show real people using your product.
Yeah, it really changed how it shows up. I mean, as someone who used to be a blogger and someone who literally had their dining room redone by Pier 1 back when Pier 1 existed, I did too. I mean, it was like the ultimate user generated, but it's changed forms. It used to be blogging. Now it's TikTok. Now it just changes. And if you are product-based instead of service-based, don't think you can't show faces just because your face isn't the product.
Yes. If you're a product-based business, people still want to see you. They want to get to know the person behind the business. But there are, like, I have one client that is a product-based business and they do not want the focus on them at all. So we have made adjustments to their plan. So there's the thing with strategy is that it's completely customized to the business. Yep. And in general, people want to see you. They want to get to know the business owner. Because if you think about it, I mean, every product or service has competition, right? Mm-hmm. So when you show your followers you and your personality, they will generally want to buy from you because they get to know, like, and trust you, right?
People buy from people.
Yes.
And like when I tried Thesis, which did not work for me, by the way.
Can you try what?
Thesis. The Thesis is an ADHD nootropics type thing.
Yes.
It did not work for me, in case anyone was curious. But when I tried it, their founder, his name is Dan, is all over. And why do I know his name is Dan? Because his face is all over everything. It's mm-hmm. I got it when I got my package. It had an insert with him and his dog, and it yep. like when I got my hair clips from Kitsch, right? Mm-hmm. Like it had the woman who founded Kitsch, whose name I don't remember right now, but I know her face. Like these are product-based businesses, and they are front and center not only on their social media but in their packaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I regularly see with all of my clients, both product and service, that the photo, when we put posts out and we use a photo of them on their feed, those always do the best.
Mm-hmm. That's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So in conclusion, what are your parting words of wisdom?
So my parting words of wisdom, if you are brand new to business, I want you to not worry about the perfect feed, and I want you to get used to posting. That is your very first step. Get on Canva, figure out your branding, and post. And then once you get more confident, once you learn more, because it's social media, takes time to learn, I'll admit,
yeah.
I would love it if you would invest in professional branding. So start following some brand designers, get in contact with Maggie, something, and get branding going. And then once you get that done, I think it would be a great idea is if you started planning your feed a month or 3 weeks or even 2 weeks in advance, just so that you can get your rhythm down and start making your feed look aesthetically pleasing. And again, in order to make your feed aesthetically pleasing, each individual image has to be pretty at the very least. I mean, and they don't have to be excessively pretty, like just a plain background with words on the screen is okay. So that's another thing. Don't overcomplicate it. You can have a pretty feed without it being complicated. In fact, if you go look at mine, you will see my feed is very easy, but it's very pretty. I mean, in my opinion, I guess I should humble.
It is. No, it is.
In my opinion.
It is. And I think that your feed versus my feed, and not versus, but it's a study in two different feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Because mine is very pretty, but it's very designed.
Yes.
Because that's literally what I am. I'm a designer. And yours is very pretty and very minimal.
Yep.
Mine is very pretty and very maximal, like maximalist. And I think that's a good study in how to accomplish the same thing with two very different feeds.
And that goes back to branding, right?
It does. It's exactly that.
Branding, guys.
And we both use later to look at our feeds from a feed perspective. And that's how, like, I tried to cancel later because I am terrible at planning in advance like that.
Mm-hmm.
But not being able to see my feed in that feed preview made me anxious. I need that feed preview.
Me too. Visual learners. So that's another step. Invest in something that will help you visually plan out your feed. And then of course, if all of this sounds overwhelming, you don't want to do it, hook up with the social media manager. We've got you covered.
That's definitely the step to go to. I'm working with Becky to get myself on a schedule. So when you start seeing stuff come up like regularly, you guys are going to be like, wow, Meg is prolific. No, I am not. No, I am not prolific. I'm working with Becky. That's what's going on there.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh. Thank you so much for coming on again.
Yeah, of course. I love it.
This is going to be regular. So you guys are going to be so good at social media, and people are going to be like, what's your secret? And you're going to be like, I'll never tell. No, tell everybody. Just kidding.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody, you know where to find Becky, but if they don't know where to find Becky, where do they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Chipra Creative. And that is Chipra Creative. And same for my website, chipracreative.com.
That's it. That's where you go. Go to her Instagram though, because it is really pretty. That's where you want to find her.
Yes.
All right, guys. Until next time. Bye. Oh, that was the kitty. And he's so cute. Okay. Bye for real.